Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Great, Steve. I can't believe a whole week's gone by.
I know. It's good to be back with you, though.
Yes. I hope you're had an awesome week and had an awesome Lord's Day today. Oh, no, wait. That's at the end.
That's at the end.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, I hope you're having an awesome Lord's Day anyway. And I hope we're going to add to your Lord's Day.
Let's hope.
Yeah, let's hope. Don't touch that dial, as they used to say. Anyway, last week, we started talking about broad roads to destruction, narrow roads to salvation, mm-hmm. wide gates that lead to destruction, narrow gate that leads to salvation. And we did the passages from Matthew 7 and from Luke 13. Mm-hmm. So I think, Steve, why don't you read Luke 13, 23 to 30 again? And then also, you had an awesome passage from the Revelation. Read the Luke passage first.
Okay. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" And Jesus answered, saying, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' And he will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last."
Mm. Wow. Yeah. So you got to strive to enter.
Yeah.
It's a struggle. Like we talked last time, the narrow road goes through Calvary, goes through the cross. The only way to enter the Holy of Holies is by the blood of the Lamb. You know, the high priest went in on Yom Kippur with the blood of bulls and goats and that were sacrifices and sprinkled blood on the mercy seat.
Right.
And he was the only one allowed in the Holy of Holies.
Yeah.
But we go into the Holy of Holies because of the blood of the Messiah.
Right.
And that's the only way in, and the road is narrow. And it's also narrow in the sense that there's not other ways to be saved. There's not other ways to go to heaven. This is the only way. This is the narrow road. Right. This is the narrow gate. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be seeking it. Mm-hmm. Lukewarm people, cold people, people who have no idea where they are, but they think they should be in.
Right.
Because they've done they've done a lot of stuff.
I deserve that.
Yeah, I deserve that. I've gone to church most Sundays. I've never killed anybody. It's, you know, I try to be nice. They're not striving. People like this are going to be kept out. They're even people that look good.
Yeah.
Even people that have done a lot of religious things, but their hearts have been someplace else, are going to be kept out. Mm-hmm. And the holy things and the common things are going to be separated again.
Yeah, you know, when you start saying those few things, I thought, you know, I used to think like that mm-hmm. before I came back to the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not killing anybody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I was on a path of destruction.
Yeah.
You know, and in my own pride, you know, I just rejected those things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny. Well, I shouldn't say funny, but it's when we as Christians, as believers, talk to someone else who has not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, who has not repented of their sins, and is still on that broad road to destruction.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk to them, sometimes they can think, "Boy, how narrow-minded are you?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they don't realize that we've been down that path. We've been down that road.
We were on the broad road once.
I was on the broad road, and I'm trying to tell you, stop, turn around, and go back.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, the broad road's seemingly a lot more fun.
Mm-hmm.
The narrow road is a struggle. It's like the people in the wilderness heading for the promised land. We're on a journey heading toward our time of rest, mm-hmm. heading toward paradise. And, you know, the book of Hebrews points out that God made the Sabbath, the Shabbat, because it was the day of rest.
Right.
So during the week, you look forward to the Shabbat. You look forward to the Sabbath because then you can rest.
Right.
The people were in the land in the wilderness going to the land thinking, well, once we get to the land, we can rest. We can have our houses. We can have our farms. We can have our stuff. We're on that same journey, but we're seeing a much bigger thing that the road leads to, which is heaven, which is an eternal rest, which is joy and peace
and love,
tears wiped away. And, and that's what we're going toward. And it's a struggle because the narrow road goes through some hard places.
Yeah. You know, last week you mentioned about Paul saying, you know, an athlete gets this little crown of leaves.
Yeah.
That withers after a few days.
Yeah.
Strive for something that's eternal.
Yeah.
Jesus says, store up treasures in heaven for yourselves.
Exactly.
Where neither moth, you know, it won't decay or be destroyed.
Thieves can't take it. Yeah. Yeah. And he's the master of the house. So he says, eventually, the door to the house is going to be shut.
Yeah.
And there's going to be people outside going, hello, remember me?
Lord, let us in.
Hey, you know, I went to church. Remember the time I went to church Christmas Eve? Hey, it's me. It's me. Aren't you going to open the door?
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to say, tough. The door's closed now. And, you know, it's kind of the example of when the rain started, Noah closed the door of the ark. And the people that were in the ark, his family, were safe. Mm-hmm. The people who were outside, Noah didn't open the door anymore. Because there was a time when the mercy and the grace stops and says, nope, there's no more time for repentance now. Mm-hmm. You've had your chance.
Yeah.
And he's the master of the house. And, you know, the true believers, the true worshipers are going to be inside.
Yeah.
And the people who really aren't committed, really aren't following, are going to be outside.
Yeah.
Now, people who heard Jesus say this, you know, it says later, we're going to get into, you know, they were kind of amazed by this. But, you know, at the time, you think, too, that the Jews thought that this was for them.
Right.
They were the chosen people. They were the covenant people. Nobody had the covenant with God that they had. But then Jesus says, oh, there's going to be people coming from the north, the south, the east, the west. Like, all these people are coming to take their place in the house. And in the house, there's going to be this awesome banquet feast, which is the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's going to be people from all over the world there.
Yeah.
It's not just going to be the Jews.
Yeah. And you see that throughout Scripture.
Yeah.
You know, you see that even with Abraham and Abimelech.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
Abraham makes this covenant with this Philistine pagan, and he understands that if I make a covenant with Abraham, my not only am I going to be blessed,
mm-hmm.
but my family, my lineage is going to be blessed
mm-hmm.
through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you see that early on in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And last week we also talked about in the book of Revelation, the church at Ephesus,
mm-hmm.
you know, and where Jesus tells them that he knows their deeds, he knows their hard work and their perseverance. And they cannot tolerate wicked people, but yet he has one thing against them, that they've forsaken the love that they had first.
Yeah.
And consider how far they've fallen.
Yes.
You know, he's telling them, consider how far you have fallen and repent and do the things you did at first.
Because
if you don't repent, I'm going to remove your lampstand
mm-hmm.
from its place.
Yeah.
So many times we've talked on the show about how for the sake of God's holy name, God even destroyed his own temple.
Yes.
That the Israelites had built for God.
Twice. mm-hmm.
Sin cannot be tolerated. Mm-hmm. Sin cannot dwell where God is because mm-hmm. God is so holy.
Mm-hmm.
And on the broad road to destruction, sin is tolerated everywhere.
Yes.
That's okay. Well, everybody falls, you know, it's okay. Don't worry about
mm-hmm.
it. No. You fall, you repent, you get back up, and you get back on the road,
mm-hmm.
and you walk towards that narrow gate.
Yes.
You know, and I heard a teaching a couple weeks ago about the passage of Scripture was from, I think it was the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus is talking about entering through the narrow gate.
Mm-hmm.
And a city, an ancient city, was built where you had a big gate that was open, you know, during the daytime, during the daylight hours. They didn't have lights back then.
No.
We tend to forget about, you know, electricity wasn't invented until like 100 years or so ago.
Yeah.
So the gate would be open during the daytime because there was light. The gatekeepers can see who is coming into the city. They can identify people, and people traveled with their belongings, you know, their camels, their other, you know, their bags, carry-on bags and stuff. I don't know if they charged them for extra baggage back then, but
depends how big your donkey was.
Depends on, you know, if you had a big donkey. So, but that the gate was big that let these people in and out of the city.
Mm-hmm.
But at night, the gate was closed. And if you wanted to enter the city at night, there was this narrow little opening that only you could pass through. Mm. You had to leave your possessions behind. You had to leave your weapon behind and your armor.
Wow.
And you can just squeeze through this narrow passage. And so everybody that understood how the city was constructed back in the days of Jesus and ancient times knew what Jesus was talking about.
Mm.
Enter, strive to enter through the narrow gate.
I wasn't aware of that.
Neither was I. And so when I heard this, you know, I researched a little bit, and that's how a city was constructed.
Oh.
So you had this narrow little opening that people can come through.
Wow.
And that's what Jesus is talking about.
Wow.
The narrow gate.
So they would have known what he meant.
They would have known when he, you know, when I think when I used to think of it like, oh, okay, what's it's a gate, but it's not as big as the big gate.
Yes,
it's just, you know,
they
would open this narrower gate, but it's a narrow passage. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. As big as a person, you can squeeze through it.
But you can't take your stuff with you.
But you can't take your stuff with you. So
even,
there's
not even your iPad?
No, your iPad would get squashed. I mean, think about that. You're leaving behind all your possessions to enter through this narrow gate. What does Jesus call us to do?
Mm-hmm.
Pick up, if you want to be my disciple, leave everything, pick up your cross and follow me.
Yeah.
And when the pastor was talking about this, it really hit home how much Jesus was saying in that.
Mm.
You know, it wasn't just, well, you know, enter through this narrow gate. There's so much more that was understood that wasn't said right there that the people of his time would have understood.
Wow.
That's awesome. We probably don't.
Wow. That's a powerful imagery.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I mean, I think of this person just leaving all, you know, you can't fit your camel through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could probably try and stuff him through it, but then you'd block the entranceway.
Your money bags.
Your money bags you'd have to leave behind. If you had a cart with wheels on it or something, you had to leave that behind. You had to leave your clothes, your belongings, all your bags, all your toiletries, your iPad, your Nintendo, your Xbox.
Ooh.
Oh, I know.
Cell phone.
Your cell phone.
Ooh,
it's getting tougher, isn't it?
Couldn't text.
You couldn't text on your way through the. No texting through the narrow gate.
You can't say I'm in.
No.
Oh.
So, that's the image that we should have in our minds of entering through that narrow gate. When we hear that passage, strive to enter through the narrow gate.
That's awesome. I'll think about it that way from now on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, when the rich man comes to Jesus, Lord, what do I have to do to enter the kingdom of heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Sell all your possessions, give it to the poor, and then come and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And he went away sad because
he couldn't do it.
His possessions possessed him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
This door of mercy and grace, you know, it's right now it's still open,
mm-hmm.
but it's not always going to be open. Eventually it's going to close.
Right.
And, you know, some people that have tried to come in, you know, a different way. Like we had a lesson last year about the sheepfold, you know, people trying to enter all different ways. There are thieves and marauders. And
yeah.
So there's people out there that are trying to enter by some other way. And they say, well, Lord, why can't you open the door? Look at all this other stuff I did. And, you know, I've been really good and I've had all these merits of my own. And why can't you just open the door? I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people that are going to be, that are so confident in their salvation that they can't understand why they're not inside.
Yeah.
That's a very scary part of scripture. And the next passage we're going to do is pretty scary too. But, you know, people that have always been confident in their salvation all of a sudden are shocked They say, what are we doing out here?
Right.
And how did Fred get in there? I've known Fred for a long time. He hardly ever even went to church.
Who's Fred?
You know, I mean, somebody who's in the house. I know. I couldn't think of a Hebrew name real fast.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, so they're going to be surprised. They're going to knock on the door, it says. They're going to knock on the door. And, you know, when I was reading this, what really struck me was when you knock on the door, you think you have, like, you have this confidence and you think you have authority to knock on the door and say, hey, did you forget something? What about me?
Yeah.
I'm out here. Other side of the door, was there some mistake or did you close the door a little bit too soon? Did you forget about the one time that I did this or went that? And I said three prayers the one day instead of two. And did you forget about that? And they're going to feel that they have the authority to knock on the door as if they belong in the house.
I have a right.
Yes, I have a right. There's no question in their mind that they have a right to enter that house and be inside, because the people that are saved are inside, and they should be in there with them.
And Jesus even says in the one parable about you know, the wedding feast, friend, what are you doing in here? Mm-hmm. How did you get in here? You put them back out. There was one thing that was coming to me when you were talking. There's other passages where Jesus talks about this, and it's a very sobering. It is very sobering. Ooh. In, you know.
Yeah, we're going to get to that passage about not everyone who says Lord, Lord is going to come in.
Right.
And here these people say Lord, Lord. Now, you know, in Hebrew, there's a couple interesting things. In Hebrew, when you repeat something, it's for special emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
So when Jesus says, amen, amen, I say to you, or, you know, verily, verily, it's like, pay attention to what I'm going to say because it's really, really true. It's an emphasis. And then when you repeat somebody's name twice, like when Jesus talks, when he's at Mary and Martha's house, you know, and he says, Martha, Martha, you know,
yeah.
It's like, get a grip. You know, it's like somebody that you know, you repeat their name twice. These people feel that they know him. They say, Lord, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like they're familiar with him. Now, he doesn't think they're familiar with them because he says, I don't even know you. You know, you're calling me Lord, Lord. I don't know who you are. Very sobering. So, you know, they feel that they know him. They feel that they're familiar. They feel that they have a right to be inside the house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they say, we ate and drank with you.
Yeah.
You know, we were kind of hanging out with you. Now, this is from their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
We ate and drank with you. Yeah. We thought we were with you.
Yeah, when the Lord says, you know, if you're going to you're going to place yourself at the high seat of honor at someone's dinner, place yourself at the lowest seat so that the person, the guest, or not the guest, but the person whose house it is doesn't say, you know, why are you sitting up here? You really belong down here.
Exactly. Exactly. And then they'll be embarrassed.
Yeah.
So they thought they were intimate with him, but he says you weren't. Hey, this is Marty Goetz.
Ooh, Marty Goetz is here today.
Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org, and there's a link there to some podcasts as well. We'll be right back in a minute.
I call you friend. That's what you are. All that I do, I share with you. I have no secrets. I have no need to keep them to myself. For I tell you till the end, I call you my friend. So I am. All that I do, you will do too. Secrets I'll whisper, and what you hear, you'll shout aloud out to a world that's near its end. I truly I say to you, you'll have tribulation, but have no fear, dear one, be of good cheer. Truly I have overcome, you too will overcome. So come, my friend, I know who you are. Before you were, I knew of you. You've so many secrets, many needs. Don't keep them to yourself, no one to help you in the end. Just call my name, I'm always the same. I search for all who will claim the love I send, so I can call them friend. Say, can I call you my
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's an awesome song.
Always good to hear Marty Gipp singing.
He's been on this show twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's one of our favorite guests.
Yes. And he's from Beechwood.
Yes, he is.
Yes. And I get opportunity here and there to talk to him when he's here visiting his mother. So that's nice. Anyway. He's on the narrow road. With his piano and everything.
He can get the piano through.
Yeah. So these people say, Lord, Lord. So they think they're familiar with him. And they say, we ate and we drank with you. We listened to you teach. And, you know, when I hear that, I think about an interesting character named Judas. Judas Iscariot. You know, if you'd have been in Galilee or in Jerusalem, and you'd have seen Jesus and the 12 walking around, you'd have seen Judas and said, wow, look at that guy. Yeah. He's in with the in crowd. He's always talking to Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus had him be the treasurer. That's a really high position. Like when they went out to eat, Judas paid the check. You know, when they went to Starbucks, Judas paid for everybody's coffee because he had all the funds in his bag. Mm. And that means, you know, if you see him, you say, wow, Jesus really trusts him. He's the treasurer. He's like one of the most high-placed guys.
Yeah.
He's really in with this new movement or ministry or whatever. We don't know what it is, but Judas is really in with it.
Yeah.
And they would have found out later, and of course, Judas ate with him, talked with him. Then they found out later that he wasn't as he seemed. And not only did Judas eat with him and walk around with him, he heard him teaching.
Yeah.
You know, Judas knew the teachings that Jesus had done.
Yes.
It's pretty remarkable. Mm-hmm. 3 years spent with him. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, you find out his heart wasn't in it.
Yeah.
His heart was not in it. He looked good, but he was not in the in crowd. Mm-hmm. And so when these people are knocking, Jesus disowns them. He says, I don't know you. You don't belong to this family.
Yeah. You bring up a good point, because sometimes somebody can be going through and doing the stuff, going through the motions, but their heart is far away from the Lord.
Yes.
You know,
Jesus, I think it's in Isaiah where it says, this people pays me lip service, but their hearts are far from me.
Right. Yeah. And their sacrifice is worthless. You know, and that's where God says, I desire mercy.
Yeah.
Not sacrifice.
Yes.
And it's very sobering to talk about this, because every one of us, you and I included, needs to examine our own hearts and our own intentions, mm-hmm. and our place with the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, because we can be easily deceived into thinking we're something, you know, that we deserve something,
right?
When we really don't.
Yes.
You know, salvation is a free gift to us, mm-hmm. offered to us by the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I deserve it
mm-hmm.
because of anything.
None
I
of
did.
Us deserve it.
None of us deserve it.
Yeah.
But it's offered as a free gift.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't, if we could earn it, it wouldn't be a gift.
Yeah.
And then we can boast.
Yes. And now Jesus in this answer, remember, this is the answer to some guy's questions, like, are there few that are going to be saved? Mm-hmm. Who's going to be saved? You know, he's not only the master of the house, but he's the judge. So now he disowns these people. Say, I didn't know you. I don't know who you are. You know, you think right. we know each other? I don't know who you are. You don't belong to this family. I don't know you're in some other family, but you don't belong to this family. You're not branches off of the vine. Mm. You know, the people who are his disciples are branches from the vine.
Yeah.
And if the branch is separated from the vine, it can't bear any fruit.
Right.
You guys aren't branches of the vine. Then he discards them. He sends them away. He says, depart from me.
Right. You're not a part of the olive tree.
Yes. He says, depart from me. So they're rejected. They're condemned. They're sent away. And this is really scary. He calls, you know, he says they do iniquity. I mean, these are people that look good. I mean, mm-hmm. these might even be like people who had, you know, were TV evangelists. This might even be people that had Christian radio shows. Oh, wait a minute.
Like,
not this
like
show.
Ooh. Yeah.
But I mean, this is a very sobering passage.
Yeah.
Because these people are discarded. They're sent away. They're condemned.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, then they see who's in the house. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, who are the patriarchs, mm-hmm. the prophets.
Right.
And they're in there. So in other words, they're going to see the patriarchs and the prophets in heaven, but they can't go in. And there's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I mean, this is a sign of misery, frustration. You know, you start to wail, like, how could this be possible? How could this be? You know, they're grinding and gnashing their teeth. There's this grief that they're not going to get to go in, and they're going to see all these people from the scripture that are in there. And to top it off, there's this great ingathering of people. There's people there from the north and from the south and from the east and from the west. I mean, there's going to be people there from Asia and Europe and Africa and North America and South America. And there's going to be people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation.
Yeah.
And they're going to be taking their place in the house with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Jesus, the master of the house. And these people who are not admitted are going to, before they're sent away, going to see this, and then they're going to be gone.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Mm.
Horrible.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to wish that on anybody, you know. And I think that it brings us to the place of ministering to people to be compassionate and mm-hmm. to walk with them,
mm-hmm.
because of if God's mercy is so infinite that He gave the Israelites a year of jubilee, where your debt was forgiven.
Yeah.
You know, who am I not to put an obstruction in the way of God forgiving somebody's debt
mm-hmm.
or holding on to a grudge with someone when God has forgiven me? You know, all these parables, you know, the dishonest steward,
yeah.
All these parables are where he goes to the master and the master forgives him his debt, but then he goes out and strangling and beating his own servants because mm-hmm. they couldn't pay their debt.
And they owed him just a pittance compared to what he owed.
Yeah. And then the master finds out about it and judges him very harshly. All these parables are for our benefit,
mm-hmm.
to take them seriously and to really allow the word of God to sink into our heart and transform it. And become that disciple that Christ is calling us to be.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many things in the scripture passages that really speak to my own, the condition of my own heart, mm-hmm. and where I'm at before God and what I really need to work on in my own life. That should keep me busy for a long, long time.
And
really keep me out of somebody else's hair or judging somebody else for a long, long, long time.
I was going to mention about that little speck you had in your eye, but I decided I better not. But, yeah, exactly. And this is one of the examples of how, not only how powerful the scripture is, but that it's divine in origin, mm-hmm. in that it's written over a period of, I don't know how many years, 2,000 years,
centuries.
But it applies to each individual person in the year 2013 that reads it.
And it shows no partiality.
That's right. And who would, if the writers, if the prophet Jeremiah would have thought, well, people 2,013 years after Messiah are really going to like this passage. I mean, they could have never had any comprehension of that. But the power of it is that it applies, just like you just said, to every individual person, because it's written by the Holy Spirit. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. Right. And it's for all time. And if the world goes on another 1,000 years, which I can't even imagine that would happen, the scripture will still be impacting people.
It's for Jew and Gentile.
Yes.
Free, free person and slave.
Yes.
It's for everybody who hears it.
Yes.
And there's no partiality. And, we talked about how Paul eloquently, not of his own words, but he states this, and he has all these letters that talks about this, that there's no partiality with God, mm-hmm. either Greek nor Jew.
Right.
Servant or free.
Mm-hmm.
It's the blood of Messiah.
Yes.
That washes us.
Yes.
And brings us into the kingdom when we receive that gift.
Amen.
That we're all one in Messiah.
Yeah.
We're not segregated into different groups and sections anymore.
And it's not circumcision, uncircumcision.
Right.
And we see Peter, at Cornelius's house, and it says the circumcised believers said, hey, wait a minute. How come the Holy Spirit's falling on these Romans? Wait a minute. Something must be wrong here.
Right.
This isn't supposed to be happening. It's for us. Mm-hmm. And Peter says, wow, this is awesome. What's happening here?
Yeah.
Because they had preconceived ideas of what was going to happen.
And, when we have a preconceived idea of what's going to happen, we really can block the flow of God.
Yes.
Well, we can miss the flow of God.
Yes. Actually.
We're not going to really block it, but
right. We'll
miss what's happening and misinterpret what's happening. And then we wonder, how did I miss that?
Yeah.
And like you're saying, the Holy Spirit's falling upon this uncircumcised
mm-hmm.
new believer.
Mm-hmm.
But the circumcised believer he's not getting the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He's like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's for me.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, aren't I entitled to that?
Exactly. It's like those guys always said, well, we're children of Abraham.
Right.
And Jesus said, okay. God can raise children of Abraham from the stones if he wants to.
Yeah, they didn't like that too well.
They didn't like that too well. And, Paul writes in Romans about, you're just because you're a blood descendant of Abraham doesn't mean you're true Israel.
Right.
So we're adopted children to Abraham.
Right.
Even though he's not our father, he's our spiritual father because we're doing Abraham things and they weren't.
And Jesus would say that, if you were Abraham's children, you wouldn't try to kill me.
Sure.
Yeah.
And if you saw the Pharisees looking really holy with all their stuff on, they'd be the ones knocking on the door going, hello, remember who do you know who we are?
Right.
We're the leaders here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the high priest. Remember me? And And they looked great. I bet those Pharisees looked great when you saw them walking down the street.
They probably did.
They probably looked great. And, when they were at Starbucks, they sat at their own table and, all the peasants sat at a different table, but, this is not what the kingdom is about. It's not about, I often think back of those people that were, the early fathers, the early people who formed the church and the early people that you know, separated themselves and evangelized people and prayed and went. And there were these people called the Desert Fathers that just went out into the desert and, you know, they lived like hermits and they just prayed. And they, I mean, it's really quite amazing.
Yeah.
And if you saw one of those guys, you'd have said, man, that guy's a mess.
Yeah.
It's all dirty, smells bad, compared to these Pharisees that look really good.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like John the Baptist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, let's not get into that again. They said, dude, you got to do something with that hair.
But, you know, you bring up a good point that there is those who are going to say, but Lord, and it's right here. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, why don't you read that? Let's do that. Matthew 7, it's Matthew 21, 7. 22, 23. That's good.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them in reply, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.
Oof. This is my least favorite passage in the whole scripture. Remember how I always say, oh, this is one of my favorite verses? This is not my favorite verse. These are my three least favorite verses. And, you know, I shouldn't be laughing because this is so sobering that this should give everyone pause to examine what they're doing, how they live their lives on a day-to-day basis, how they live their prayer life, how they live their, you know, worshiping life, how they live their spiritual life in general.
Yeah.
Because again, people are going to say, Lord, Lord, repeating the word. So they repeat the name. So they feel that they're close to him and that they know him.
Mm-hmm.
They're acquainted with him. They repeat the name, Lord, Lord. And who are these people? This is the sobering part of this. Are they just saying his name? Are they just kind of people that, like we talked about in the other group, that says, hey, we should be in the house too. Yeah. Lord, Lord, knock on the door.
Mm-hmm.
Are these people that are trying to earn their way into heaven? They're trying to merit their own salvation. Are they people that didn't really acknowledge his power, but they had, you know, Paul writes later, they have the form of godliness, but they deny its power. You know, are they people that aren't doing his will at all? Are they just giving it lip service? I mean, this is a very scary kind of thing. Are these people that didn't have real repentance?
Well, when you say that, if we read further into Matthew 7, verse 24 and 25, he says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock.
Yeah.
The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand.
Yeah.
The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus also says, to whom much is given, much is required.
Mm-hmm.
And even more is going to be required of that person because more will be given to that person.
Yes, exactly.
And I was thinking about that the other day where, you know, as a new believer, do we really consider the gift of salvation something great?
Mm.
To whom much is given. If you're given the gift of salvation, isn't that enough? You know, we start to get into spiritual gifts and, well, maybe that my gift is teaching. Maybe my gift is ministry and here and this and that. But we don't have anything of that without the gift of salvation.
Amen.
And it was, the Lord was really placing that upon my heart of how much is given and what's required of us for that. What's required of me for that.
Yeah. That's the greatest gift.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, second break. Oh, this is a great song. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We're going to listen to Paul Wilbur and be right back.
peace be to you. When Messiah comes to take us home, may his praise be found in you. Pray for peace, Jerusalem, city of our God. Their salvation was poured out for you. The atoning of the Lord. Once your streets filled with joy, branches raised up high, shouting, blessed be the Holy One, Yeshua Tadonai. Shalom, shalom, Jerusalem, peace be to you. When Messiah comes to take us home, may his praise be found in you. Israel, beloved, Ephraim, my son, how my heart would thrill to hear you say, Messiah has come. Oh, my brothers, hear these words. May it pierce your soul. Turn again to worship Adonai. Mashiach, you will know. Shalom, shalom, Jerusalem.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Boy, that's an awesome song.
Yes, it is.
And this is a time, we should also say, with all the things going on in the world, this is the time to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Yes.
Psalm 122:6.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll prosper if you do.
Right.
And I'm not talking about mansions and money and cars and stuff. You're going to spiritually prosper. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so this is back to this scary. I don't want to go back to this scary passage. It's had me kind of bothered for the last couple of days as I've been thinking about this. And you know who are these people? You know, at the end, you know, there's a judgment taking place here. You know, this is the last day. There's a judgment taking place, and you know, these people are having things revealed about them. You know, Jesus knows things about these people because nothing's going to be hidden.
Right.
You know, he said at one point, in the final judgment, you have to answer for every idle word. So that's another scary thing, because if you're not with him, you're going to answer for every idle word. So when you call somebody a jerk and you walk out of the room, or you know, you don't really even mean it, you just say an idle word, you're going to be judged for that, because you know he's going to judge the heart. And you know, these were people who were not obedient. Maybe they didn't love, you know, like you always say, everything is based on love. And maybe they did all these things, you know, they cast out demons, they even healed people, they did spiritual things, but didn't have any love, mm-hmm. you know, on which all of this is based. You know, Jesus said, the law and the prophets all hang on this, you know, and it's love. And these people, you know, come from a variety of places. We don't really know this, but one thing is sure, that they're shocked by this. They didn't expect this. And this is what makes it even more fearful, more sobering, yeah. is that these are people who don't expect this. You go into a judgment thinking, hey, judgment can come today. I've got it made. Then all of a sudden you find out that you don't have it made. And, you know, I've encountered so many people that, you know, maybe in their 60s and 70s, and they say, oh, yeah, you know, I was saved when I was 12, and I signed the card, and I went up to the front and said the prayer, and yep, mm-hmm. saved when I was 12, you know, 60 years ago, and I'm good. I'm in. Yeah. I got my ticket punched, and I'm mm-hmm. in. And, you know, is that person going to say, but Lord, Lord, I got my ticket punched, I signed the card, I said the prayer, I went up to the front 60 years ago.
Yeah.
I haven't done anything since then, but I did that. It's not all you're supposed to do. And these are very scary things. These people are shocked that they said that they did all these different things in their names, in his name. Now, did they not do, you know, what we would call good works that would bring forth fruit? Mm. Did they not produce any fruit? Did they have gifts, but they didn't use the gifts the way they were supposed to, the right. way that the Spirit was leading them to do it? And they just thought they were doing these things in his name, but they weren't really knowing what was going on?
Yeah.
Was it just the relationship wasn't there?
You have to, you have to wonder, you know, we go back to the book of Revelations and the seven letters to the mm-hmm. seven churches. There's many things that the Lord points out there. Mm-hmm. That we can easily fall asleep. Mm-hmm. We can easily become lulled to sleep.
Sure.
And into thinking that, okay, I'm comfortable. I'm okay. Mm-hmm. Got it made.
Yep.
You know, just like the one parable where the man says, you know, I'm gonna tear down my barns and build bigger barns and store up all my harvest for myself. Yep. And the Lord says, you fool, your life will be demanded of you this very night.
Yes.
What are you going to do with all this stuff?
Exactly.
You can't take it with you. Hmm? You know, Jesus's teachings were very, should I say, hard?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they would ask, Lord, who can do all this? Who mm-hmm. who can, you know, Jesus would tell them, you know, it's easier for, it's, you know, like a rich person. Is it, can a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven? You know, it's easier for, what does he say, a camel to pass through the
eye of a needle?
Eye of a needle. Hmm. Because there's so many possessions.
Yes.
And again, if we go back to that, enter through the narrow gate, yes. strive through the narrow gate,
mm-hmm.
leave your possessions behind.
And they become idols. And idols, anything that distracts you.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be that you worship the moon god. It's anything right. that distracts you.
And that's the thing. You know, God can certainly bless us mm-hmm. with what we need.
Mm-hmm.
But when it becomes a distraction mm-hmm. and it gets in the way of our relationship with him, he will remove it.
Yes.
Because he's going to discipline those whom he loves. And if you're, you know, if God loves you, you know, as you said before, what father isn't going to discipline their child out of love?
Yes.
He does it because he can't stop loving us. Because of the covenant, because of the relationship that we have with God in the covenant.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He has to yes. discipline us. He has yes. to do all this because now he has to take action mm-hmm. to fulfill the covenant,
mm-hmm.
even if we're not, you know, giving our part to try and fulfill it.
Exactly.
Or to live up to it.
In the Old Testament, and even Jesus in the New Testament says, you know, God remembers his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Mm-hmm. because he loved them and he remade them promises.
Yeah.
Now, did that mean he never disciplined the people? No, they got disciplined all the time.
All the time, yeah.
Have Christians, does that mean Christians have never been disciplined? No, they've been disciplined all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the narrow road goes through a very difficult territory. And, you know, he uses the word strive. You know, the word strive just has that connotation to it that you're struggling as you're going.
Mm, yeah.
And these things are not easy things. They're difficult things, and they're very difficult for us to do on our own. So when we get distracted by some demonic thing, for example, if we try to take a demon on by ourselves, on our own power, on our own level, well, we're a guaranteed casualty because we can't do that. They're way smarter than we are, and they're way, they've been around a lot longer than we have. And, you know, without his help, we can't do these things. You know, like Paul says, I don't even live anymore. It's Christ who lives in me.
Yeah.
And that's where you got to get to. So these mm-hmm. people that are saying, Lord, Lord, how come I'm not in? Maybe these are people that hadn't completely surrendered.
Mm.
These are people that said, oh, yes, yes, you know, I do these things, but I live my own life too.
Yeah. As if there is, you know, you're at that point, you're living two different lives.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, the surrender is the key,
you know,
I think.
Yeah. You know, what do you do in the privacy of your own home
mm-hmm.
where nobody mm-hmm. sees you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's where God knows your heart.
Right.
And in our culture, we can hide from God and think that we're hiding from him, but God sees everything.
Yeah.
He knows our heart. He knows our thoughts.
That's very powerful. I think we have to do another show.
I think so.
We didn't get nearly done.
No.
Well, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day. We'll be back next week.
And we pray that the love and mercy of God would just fill your hearts, and he would bless you abundantly with his grace. God bless everyone. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.